This shiur is dedicated le'ilui nishmos of Chaim Yisocha ben Yechiel Zeidel Dov, our dear and unforgettable friend Chaim Feigenbaum. The topic we will be discussing today is related to the weekly parasha, Parshas Vayigash, and it is a very interesting halachic philosophical discussion which has various implications even today in vast areas in halacha. Yehuda comes before Yosef and he pleads for mercy regarding Binyamin. Obviously, Binyamin is the one that stole the king's cup and he should be sentenced to death. And nevertheless, Yehuda finds a pischon peh and he begs and says, Eich uchal v'ra'iti b'ra asher yimtzo es ovi. And therefore, what he suggests is, Yeshev nu avdecho tachas hana. He is asking for leniency. And Akedas Yitzchak, one of the great Jewish thinkers, 500 years ago, Rabbi Yitzchak Arama, in his magnificent Sefer Al HaTorah, this week's Parsha Shar Lamed, deals with a general question. Is Beis Din, Melech Yisrael, the Nasi, are they entitled to be lenient while punishing transgressors? Dalet Mises Beis Din, Chai v'Malkiyos are obligatory. But nevertheless, does Beis Din have the authority to exercise leniency either for social reasons or out of humane considerations? In most modern countries, there is a concept of a legal pardon. In Israel, it is the authority of the president of the state. In America, it is the authority of the U.S. president, and in most modern countries. Does that have a basis in halacha? Sometimes a pardon is given based on social norms and considerations, and sometimes it is something personal. Not long ago, I wrote a letter to the president of Israel asking for to pardon a person that was sitting in jail, but he was a Ben Yochid and his mother was a cancer patient, and it was a very tragic situation, and he did receive a pardon. So the Akedas Yitzchak deals, based on this week's parsha, with a basic question. Is that within the authority of either of the Melech or of the Beis Din to sometimes make an exception regarding with administering justice and punishment? And he wants to prove from three different sources that it is within the authority of the legal system of Mereches HaMishpot. And it is interesting to note that all three sources he brings all are from Sefer Shmuel. Yoav ben Tzruya killed Avner ben Ner. Obviously, al pi mishpat haTorah, he should receive capital punishment. And nevertheless, David did not punish him, at least not immediately, and he was lenient. We see the same regarding Shimi ben Gera. Shimi ben Gera cursed David in public. He was amoded b'malchus, and nevertheless, David reacted extremely in a lenient fashion. And he said, Hashem Omalei Kalel, and he did not punish Shimi ben Gera, as we learn in Sefer Shmuel Beis Perek Yutes. That is one source. The second source, once again, Shmuel Aleph Perek Yudalet, Posik Mem Dalet Mem Hei. Yonason was over on the Cherem, and he partook from the food, Loisechol Al Adam, and Shaul said that he has to die. And the people cried out in favor of Yonason and said he brought redemption for the people, he brought salvation in the war against the Pelishtim. And then the Posik says, V'podo ho'am es Yonason, and Shaul did not administer the death sentence. And the third raya is Shmuel Beis, Perek Yudalad, once again, when Yoav tells the Isha HaChachama of Tekoa, she should come before David, and she tells David this tragic and fantastic story that she had a husband and two children. Her husband died, and then one of her children killed his brother. And then the court sentenced the killer to death. But she cried out to David, "And I will be left alone in this world without both of my children, without my husband." And David has mercy, and David says, "No, no one will dare to do anything to your son, even though al-pitay al-khayra he was chayev misa as a rotzeach." So these are three sources that Hakadosh Yitzchak brings, that it is within the authority either of the melech or of a beis din to be lenient and not to go forward, not to execute punishment, even though punishment is due al pi Torah. Well, this is a very, very interesting discussion. I want to broaden the scope of this discussion to various other areas. And basically, we will be dealing with Yikav Adin Asahar, or maybe a Beis Din, and a Malik B'Yisrael, whether it's a Poisik or a Rav or a Beis Din or the King. Are we allowed, entitled, and maybe even obligated to take additional factors into consideration? If we see a real chashash that by administering justice, or even giving a psak halacha, we might be causing people to leave the fold, is that something that we have to take into consideration? So let's embark on this journey. I will not deal at length with the rayas, with the proof that the Akedah Yitzchak brings, for a very simple reason. I very many opportunities emphasize in my shiurim that when the entire halachic discourse and pilpul when dealing with mikra is problematic and questionable, because we don't really have any kashas on Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen and the Ovis and David Melech Yisrael. That was a different era and a different world. And many of the things they did was Hayroas Shoh, Al Pi Nevuah, Al Pi Ruach HaKodesh. And we also don't know the details, because in Psuke HaTorah and Psuke HaNavi, it is not a storybook and it is not history. The Torah says what it says in a very minimalistic fashion, and we don't really know all the details. So it is very difficult to deal with the halachic perspective when learning a mikra. However, we do learn what the Akedah Yitzchak has to say, or what Rashi, or what the Rambam, or what the Rashbam, or what other Mefarshim and the Torah and the Nevi'im have to say, but it is not directly that we have kashas on divrei mikroi hakodesh. That is generally my approach. So let's first point out that the Tshuvas HaRashba has something similar but different, and he also proves a point by the fact that David acted leniently towards Yoav after Yoav destroyed Avner, and he also reacted leniently towards Shimi ben Gera. So the Rashba, Chelek Esim and Reish Lamed Ches, is a fascinating tshuva, but we don't really know what the Shaila was. We could assume and imagine from the tshuva, but there is no real description what was the issue. But the Rashba writes Ba'arichas Gedoylo, quoting many sources from Shas and from Mikra, that sometimes in the endeavor of Chizuk Hadas, sometimes we need to act with restraint, and sometimes we cannot take kol hachavilo biyachad, but rather moving forward one step at a time with a lot of moderation and restraint. And the Rashba proves this point from David Melech Yisrael. Obviously, there were good reasons at the time not to move harshly against Yoav or against Shimi ben Gera. And David, as the greatest manik, as the king of Israel, had to consider many factors and many implications before administering justice and punishment. So the Rashba uses this same fact to prove a different point, because the Rashba is very clearly dealing with a matzav of bidiyeved, ein yodeinu tkifo, and a leader of any society or a country or a nation has to understand the pulse of the times, the spirit of the times, and has to appreciate what is within his power, what is beyond his power, and how his actions and deeds might affect the broader society. That is the point that Rashba is making. The Akedas Yisrael deals with the question of lechatchila. Is that within the authority of a shofet melech Bezen to consider humane considerations, or to abstain from administering punishment, delving out punishment for social consideration? So actually we're dealing with two different concepts. Regarding Yonison was over on Achayram. I just want to note that there's a major machloikis between Rishonim in the entire concept of charomis of a tzibur. The concept of charom et tzibur means that a tzibur or a bezin has the authority to decree a cherem. And a cherem is, in a way, a curse, a divine curse, and that is a tool which the tzibur or the king or the bezin has in the endeavor of Chizuk Hadas. In later generations, we no longer used Charomis, but it indeed used the concept of Nidui, which is a lesser curse than the Cherem. And here there is the Mishin Lamedaled. We learn all the halachas of Charomis and Niduyim. The Ramban wrote a sefer named Mishpat HaCherem, in which he explains his opinion at length. According to the Ramban, Cherem is a din d'oraisa, and it is based on a beferesh pusuk in the Torah, kol cherem asher yochrom min ha'odom lo yivdeh mois yumas. The Rambam brings Rishonim that had a totally different opinion, and they argued that cherem is not min ha'Torah. And if we find Chazal basing the concept of chrom etzibur on the above-mentioned pusuk, it's only an asmachta. And cherem is found in Sefer Yoshua and in Sefer Shmuel. It is only medivrei Kabbalah. The Ritva, Ksubas the Flamet Zayin, maintains that Cherem is the Rabbanon. The Mabit in Kiryat Sefer at the end of Hilchas Talmud Torah differentiates between a Cherem which was accepted by the majority of Klal Yisrael. It is then that it has the tokef of a Dioraisa. Anyway, this is a big discussion. So according to the Ramban, Yonison was Chayev Misal Pi Torah, because Chrom Tzibur is a Dioraisa. According to all the other Rishonim, no, he wasn't really Chayev Misa, so we cannot prove from the case of Shaul V'Yonison that a Basin could be lenient when a person is actually Chayev Misa Al Pi Torah. Even according to the Ramban, I think there's a great difference between Dalet Mises Basin and Chayev Malkiyos, which are specific Einshim and Chiyuvim, and the concept of a Cherem, because Cherem is not a Chiyuv. Cherem is a tool which a Kodesh Baruch Hu gave Chacham Yisrael and the Tzibur and the public to enforce the laws of the Torah. And being that it is a tool in our disposal, therefore we are authorized, and we have the privilege and the authority to use this tool in the most fitting way. And therefore, betzoysoy marchev, betzoysoy mekatzer. So it is dependent on the understanding of the tzibur or the basin or the melech that wants to use this tool. However, dalet misa basin, which are fixed and determined, predetermined by a Kodesh Baruch Hu in his Torah, it is more mistaver to assume that a Bezin has no authority not to administer Chayve Malkiyos or Dalet Misos Bezin. So after just briefly dealing with the Rayos, the three sources that Akedas Yitzchak brings, let me just discuss two sugyas in Shas. Shabbos Daf Tesvav, the Gemara says, 40 years before Chorma Bayis, Abom Shonam Lefnei Chorma Bayis, Golo Sanhedrin V'yoshvelem B'chanus. Sanhedrin left Lishkes HaGozis. And in Shabbos, the Gemara doesn't say why, but in Avodah Zorah Daf Chesam and Beis, Chazal say, Kiven de Nefisha Rotzchen, V'lo Yachli Lemeidan, there were, murder has become commonplace. Homicide was rampant. And therefore the Sanhedrin decided they're going to leave Lishkes HaGozis. Because when the Sanhedrin isn't in the Har HaBayis, they cannot judge Dina Nefoshes. So they hasn't deliberately and intentionally left Har HaBayis and they sat somewhere else. They should not be able to be done Dina Nefoshes because homicide was commonplace. And the Rashba brings this as one of his sources to prove that a basin, sometimes when society demands this course of action, basin is entitled not to punish and not to judge, but sometimes look the other way. And the Rashba says that sometimes halomis ayin hi hamitzvah. So this is one of the proofs that Ashba brings to make his point. The fact that the Sanhedrin left Har HaBayis, left the Lishkes HaGozis, they convened elsewhere so that they should not be able to judge capital punishment, Dinei Nefoshes. However, I myself, I never really understood the Gemara. The Gemara says, according to the Rashba, I have difficulty understanding the lesson of the Gemara, the formulation, lo yachli lemeidan, because obviously, according to the Rashba, they could, but they preferred not to. But the formulation in the Gemara is they couldn't judge, lo yachli lemeidan, kiven nefisha ratzchen. And I'm not aware of any of the Rishonim that really gives pshat. So I myself would guess one of two different interpretations. One, it was such a terrible time and homicide and violence was so rampant and so prevalent that we could never know whether the testimony is true testimony. And Beis Din didn't really feel that they have the means of doing proper judgment, of doing justice, because everybody was corrupt, people were getting killed every day, and they can never know whether the Edim that appeared before them were Edei Emes or Edei Sheker. The corruption was so deep and so commonplace that Beis Din felt that they're not really doing justice, and therefore they preferred leaving Lishkes HaGozis. On the other hand, one might suggest the pshat that the Dayonim themselves were in mortal danger and they put their life in jeopardy. You know, there are some places in the world in which it is very tragic, but judges have been gunned down by the mafia and there's a reign of terror. And people, judges are afraid to judge and people are afraid to step forward and testify. And maybe that is pshat the Gemara, even the Nefisha Rotzchim v'lo Yachli Lemeidan, because the Dayanim themselves, the themselves were jeopardizing their lives. So if those are the interpretations we would give to the Gemara, neither the Akedah Sitzrak nor the Rashba could prove a halachic point, because maybe that is the pshat, even the Nefisha Rotzchim v'lo Yachli Lemeidan, and it's not something that they decided out of social norms and needs that they're not going to be done Dinei Nefoshes. I do recall Tosfos in Ksuvos Daf Lamed Aleph, which seems to make very clear that it is not that they couldn't judge, but they preferred not to. But that does not contradict my present argument. Of course, by basic halachic definition, they had the authority. But feeling that there is a reign of terror, they were afraid that they're not really doing justice, and because capital punishment is so basic And so faithful, this is something which you can never take back. When you take a person's life, you could never make up for it, and therefore they preferred, out of their moral conviction, to leave Lishkas HaGozes and not to administer capital punishment and not to be damned in the nefoshes. The second sugya, which I think is relevant to what we're dealing with, is the Mishnah in Sanhedrin Daf Yud Ches, the first Mishnah in Perek Beis of Sanhedrin, Malchi Yisrael lo danim velo danim otam. And this is not a diuraisa, but rather the Rabbanan Masa Shehoyu. Chazal tell at length the story of Yanei HaMelech and Shimon ben Shotach. Yanei HaMelech had a case, and he was summoned before the Beis Din, and Shimon ben Shotach was the Av Beis Din. And he gave Yanei HaMelech no special treatment, no VIP. He was a defendant like any other defendant, and Shimon ben Shotach told Yanei HaMelech, Amoid al reglecho, you have to stand up when speaking before the court. And the story had a very unhappy end, a very tragic end, and therefore, Mishum Ma'aseh Shehoyo, Amru Chachomim, Malchi Yisrael, Lo Danim, Velo Danim Otam. So is this a case in which Chachomim abstained from administering justice? Because by basic halachic definition, there is no difference between the prince and the pauper, between the king and the simpleton. And a king has to stand before judgment just like any other person. And nevertheless, the Chachomim were metakin Malchi Yisrael, Lo danim velo danim otam. Would this prove what the Akedas Yitzchok is trying to argue, that it is within the authority of the Melech or Beis Din to say no? We know that Pliny chayev misa chayev malchus, but nevertheless we prefer not to punish him. No, I don't think this proves anything, because the suffix of the Akedas Yitzchok is an individual basin, an individual king in individual circumstances, in a individual case. What we are seeing in this sugi is a takana. Yesh koach biyad chachomim lakaduva menatoyra b'sheval taisa, like they did in many other sugis, and therefore this is different. This is a takanas chachomim. When the Rambam brings this halacha in Perek Gimel, halacha zayin of Hilchos Melachim, the Rambam writes that the reason Malchi Yisrael lo danim velo danim oisam is because they are libom gas, and it will come lidei tekola ulidei hefsed al hadas. So, examining the Lashon of the Rambam, he doesn't seem to explain that it was pikuach nefesh. It was not because of sakon or pikuach nefesh, but rather hefsed al hadas. But nevertheless, this sugya does not prove the point, because we're dealing with a takonas chachomim, and regarding a takonah yesh koach biyad chachomim lakol dovo mena toira b'shev v'al taisa. So this is a different case. After dealing with mikro and with gemara, now we move over to the poiskim. Shin lamedalad is dinei cherem v'nidui, and the Ramo and Siv Gimel writes menadin mi shechayev nidui. When a person did an aveira, and according to halacha, he deserves nidui, but there is a real fear that the person might convert to Christianity or leave the fold, is Beis Din supposed to take that into consideration? The Ramo says no. And the Ramo is based on Trumas Adesh. And Trumas Adesh in Psukim Simen Kuf Lamed Ches deals with this question, and the Trumas Adesh wants to prove from a story told in Kiddushin Ayin Beis Amed Alef. What's the story? Rabbeinu HaKadosh Lifnei Moisei. Rabbeinu HaKadosh was obviously for a very good reason called Rabbeinu HaKadosh. He was the greatest sage of his generation and widely known for his Kedusha and his Prishus. Twice in Shas, we learn about Rabbeinu HaKadosh Lifnei Moisei. Ksubis Kuv Gimel, that is the story of Ashkaftei de Rebbe. It is a moving description, an unbelievable description, and nothing is similar find in Shas and Babri Yerushalmi. But we are dealing with a different source, and that's Kedusha Nayim Beis Amed Aleph. Kedushin Ayin Beis is actually Perek Asori Yoyosin. So Chazal say that Rabbeinu HaKodesh Ki Avenaich Nafshei Omar Hum Naya Ike Bebovel Kulei Aminoim Masgaraya Ike Bebovel Kulei Mamzerim Birki Ike Bebovel Shnei Achim Yesh Shemachlifen Hashasem Zelazer Biyachad Esatye Ike Bebovel. Anyway, Rabbeinu HaKodesh said there's a town in Bovel, most of the dwellers of that town are Aminim. Another city, they are all Mamzerim. And then suddenly Rabbeinu HaKodesh says that there is a place in Bovel in which people were Machal Shabbos v'shamtino Rav Acha b'Rav Yashia v'eshtamud. People were Machal Shabbos. Rav Acha b'Rav Yashia put them into Nidui, put a ban on them, and they went out to Shmad. So the Tumas edition says, why would Rabbeinu HaKodesh be interested in telling stories before his demise, before he passes away, in such a moedik moment? So why would he feel it important to say that I see in Ruach HaKodesh that above all, somebody was Machal Shabbos and he was put into, he was excommunicated, and then he went out to Shmad. It is only because Rebbe wants to teach us a halacha that when a person has to be excommunicated, when he has to be put into Nidui, we should go forward with it, even though we know that he might go out to Shmad. And the Ramo paskins in accordance to the Tumas edition. Now the Taz and Sif Kot Nalav rejects the Ramo. And the Taz argues it doesn't make sense, because the objective, what is the goal, the objective of Nidui? To bring him back. So what's the point in doing Nidui and pushing him farther away, throwing over the fence, then bringing him Lidei Shmad? Doesn't make sense. Isn't logical. And the Taz has a different suggestion. Why Rabbeinu HaKodesh felt it important to say what he said Lifnei Moisei. The Shach, on the other hand, stands next to the Ramon. And Akudas HaKesef, he says, if we would take into consideration that the person says he's going to go to the Christians, then botlo din mi yisrael, we can never administer justice and punishment, because everyone would say, if you do to me this and this, I'm going to go to the goyim. So if a person is chayiv misa, his wife would say, if you're going to execute him, then I and my kids were going to convert to Christianity, and everybody could threaten to do anything. And therefore, batlo din mi yisrael, so this is something we cannot and should not take into consideration. Now, on one hand, we could say that this argument is specific in the concept of nidui, and we cannot learn from this machloikis to the broader question, a poisek, a beis din. To what degree, to what extent do they have to take into consideration the implications of their psak? You know, how the family would be affected, the greater family. Because on one hand, the Taz argument is, the objective of Nidui is just bringing a person back. So why would we use Nidui to push him away? So this is a very specific argument regarding Nidui. It wouldn't apply generally to the approach of a Poisik or a Manig B'Yisroel. And the same regarding the Shach. The Shach says, if we would take every threat of conversion into consideration, then batlo din yisrael, because a person could always say, if you're going to do to me this and this, I will go to the Christians and I'm going to become a Christian, you know. But this doesn't address the broader question. However, the Taz also quotes Mahari Mintz. And I have to give a short introduction before explaining what is the story of the Mahari Mintz. The Mahari Mintz lived 500 years ago, and he gave a psak which caused a major controversy in his time and in many generations after that. In Yevamos Mem Beis is the sug of Menekes Chaveiroi. It is an issur d'rabbanan for a woman that has a baby to remarry until 2 years, Chov Dalet Chodesh. And that is the din of Menekes Chaveiroi. The reason the Chachamim were metakan this issur was the chashash that her new husband won't really care for the baby, and therefore he won't provide the needs of the mother to nurse her baby. And once upon a time, babies could survive only if being nursed. When Moshe Rabbeinu was found in the river, they looked for a menekes. They didn't give him Similac or any other formula. And therefore, the Chachamim were afraid her new husband wouldn't really care about the baby. He would prefer the baby's demise, and therefore he wouldn't provide for his wife, and she wouldn't have enough milk for the baby, and the baby might perish. And therefore, the Chumor Metaken, a person cannot marry a Minekes until the baby is 2 years old. Even though in due time, the reasoning, the rationale of this Dekana was no longer reasonable, but this is one of the examples that even when the Tam is bottled, the Tekana stays intact, and the Poiskim are very, very machmir in the din of Menekes Chaveiroi. It appears primarily in Evin Ezer Siman Yud Gimel. So in the times of the Marimins 500 years ago, there was a young Jewish girl who, Lidavon Lev, was a prostitute, and she had a baby out of marriage, and somebody was willing to marry her. And it was very clear that if she won't get married, first of all, she will keep on acting in her terrible fashion. And Jewish people were choyte and nahagu b'minag hefkar. And there also was a substantial chashash sheteitze letarbut ra. And therefore, the Marimins was matir her to get married within 2 years. And he proved his argument from Gittin Daf Mem Gimel. The Gemara says, Masu b'shivcha, ha-shoyse chetzi shivcha, chetzi b'schoyron, and kofos rabo l'shachrara, mishum shenagu b'minig hefka. So the Chachamim forced her master to give her a shtar shichra. Ha-mashachrara avdoi oiver b'asei, it's an isidi raisa, but nevertheless, mishum shenagu b'minig hefka, kofos rabo l'shachrara. So the Merriman says, along that same logic, because Nahagu Baminig Hefker and there's a Chashash Teitzel Atar Bisro, he was Matar and Nisid Rabbanon. The Bis Yosef very strongly rejected this psak, as we see in Shalas Achuvas Beis Yosef Hilchas Ksubas Simen Beis, but the Ramo brings the Marimins in Sif Yud Aleph and Simen Yud Gimel and Evin Ha'ezer. Many Gedoilim rejected the Marimins and they said, we cannot bring a Raya for Gittin. For many reasons. First of all, the Rashba says that there is only Yisro l'shachar revet, aval ein Yisro l'shachar shivcho. Second of all, the Rishonim explain that when the reason we free the Eved is not out of our wish to act favorably toward the Eved, but we have a different interest, there is no Yisro v'lo oylem behen tavoidu kimavur b'rashbo begitin daf lamed ches in that same sugya. Anyway, many of the Gedolim felt that we have no authority to push aside, to override an Issa Darabonon because of the Chashash, Shema Teitze Letar Besuro. I think most of the Gedolim felt that way. In Sefer Pachad Yitzchok from Rabbi Yitzchok Lamperonti, he was one of the Italian Gedolim 400 years ago, and I think it was probably the first encyclopedic halachic work. Because Pachad Yitzchok is a big, big sefer, a choshev sefer, and it is based on alphabetical order. And in Erech Gilui Arayis, he brings a similar story of Ledavon Lev Leboshteinu, a Jewish girl that was available to men, and people Naguba Minegefker, and there also was a chashash of Tarbus Ro, and the question was whether to excommunicate her, whether to act against her. And the Chashash was, if they will act against her, Shema Teitzel Tarbus Ro. And Rabbi Yitzchok Leporonti in Pachad Yitzchok brings, I think, 5 or 6 Tshuvas from different Gedolim of his time, and we find starkly different opinions. Some say we should do nothing against her, Kedei Shelo Teitzel Tarbus Ro, and others say we have to be Moicha Bo'ever Aveira, and totally ignore any threat of Tarbus Ro, and we see both opinions in a very clear fashion in the Pachad Yitzchok. Noida B'Yehuda, and this is extremely important because the Noida B'Yehuda and the Chasam Sofer were the greatest halachic authorities of their time. Noida B'Yehuda, Madura Tinyona, Evan Ezesim, and Lamed Daled deals with a slightly different situation in which a young girl had a baby and she came from an extremely poor background. There was no one there to support her. And she said she cannot afford the baby, and therefore she considered giving the baby over to a non-Jewish orphanage. And a person offered to marry her, and the Noida B'Yehuda says, we might disagree with the Mari Mintz, because if a person threatens to go to the church, then we bear no responsibility. You cannot distort halacha by threatening to leave Yiddishkeit. That is your choice, and you will bear the consequences. And we should not take such threats into consideration. But when dealing with a child, Tinoik Shaloi Tom Tam Chait, and he will be the one to pay the price, the Noida B'Yehuda says, this is different. And therefore, he is Mati Menekes Chaveiroi, when there is a substantial chashash that the child will be given over to a non-Jewish organization, orphanage, and he will be raised as a non-Jew. The Chasam Sofer, two different shuvas, Shin Chof Beis in Yoredeya, Kuf Chof Hei, Even Ezer Chelik Beis, adds on an interesting twist, an interesting argument to this Shaila. And the Chasam Sofer says, the entire Isser of Menekes Chaveri is only for the benefit of the child. So if the child would be intelligent enough, big enough, grown up enough, adult enough, to voice his concerns and arguments before Bazin, he would say, why do you care for my physical sustenance and not for my spiritual needs? And therefore, I prefer dealing with the situation of a stepfather who might not like me than dealing with a situation growing up between the goyim in a monastery or in a church or in an orphanage. And therefore, because the tekon is letifasoi, based in ta'anin alei, and we say, efshi betekonas chachamim. It is interesting that a similar argument we also find Rabbi Yitzchok Elchanan Spektor, the greatest poisek in Lithuania more than 120 years ago, and his sefer Be'er Yitzchok Even Ezer Siman Aleph. There are similar tshuvas in very, very many sources, but I think we brought some of the more important sources in this most interesting question. And these dilemmas are extremely relevant today in many areas when we are asked shilas from the kirov world and not only from the kirov world. And sometimes we feel that if we're going to be machmer, we might be turning people away, and by being more lenient, we might be mekarev people. And it is always the question, are we to take this into consideration, or maybe Yikov Adin et Ahar, and we are not a Kodesh Baruch Hu's bookkeepers. So in Brisk, this was the Haggadah. We are not a Kodesh Baruch Hu's bookkeepers. A Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us Torah. We have to paskin, and we paskin the same to everyone, and we are not to take into consideration their ramifications of our psukim regarding the broader family, or the chance to bring them closer to Yiddishkeit and more devoted to Yiddishkeit. On the other hand, some of the Gesalim felt differently. I never used this venue to pasken halachas, just to give an idea of what the issues are, the issues involved, and we dealt with some of the more important sources. Coming back to this week's parsha, when finally Yaakov Avinu arrives in Eretz Mitzrayim and he is introduced to Paroi, Paroi asks Yaakov, Kama yemei shnei chayecho? How old are you? Very simple and straightforward question, but the response of Yaakov is very cumbersome and complicated. Yemei megurai shloshim v'ma'ashono. Ma'at v'ra'im ayu yemei shnei chayai, v'lo hisigu yemei shnei chayei avosai b'yemei megureihem. I don't think ever was such a complicated response given to such a simple question. What is Yaakov Avinu saying? My feeling and my understanding is this. Yaakov Avinu hears a question. Kami yamei shnecha yecho, and he shudders. What is Chaim? How do we define life? Chachomim teach us, Rashom b'chayim kruyim meisim, tzadikim b'misosim kruyim chayim. So that is a different perspective, a different dimension, a different interpretation. What is life? What is life all about? It is not breathing, moving, existing. One of the great thinkers in history said, cogito ergo sum. I think, therefore I exist. Thinking is not enough to be defined as living. Obviously, in the philosophy of Chazal, to be alive is to grow, to achieve the goal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us in order that we shall achieve. Lemale et hayeud shelanu. And therefore, tzadikim b'misosim kruyim chayim, reshua mechayim kruyim meisim, kihi chayeichem v'orech yomechem. And in Berachas Kirshem Avide we say, kihem chayeinu v'orech yomeinu. במקום שאתה מוצא גדולוסון, שם אתה מוצא אינוותנותם. יעקב אבינו, the one that said kutainti, the great tzaddik, יעקב אבינו בחיר שבאובס, when he hears this question, כמה ימי שני חייכו, יעקב says, how would I possibly know? ימי מגורי שלושים ומאה שונו, it's been 130 years that I am here, that I am living here, that I dwell in this world. Ma'at v'ra'im ayu yamei shnei chayai, but yamei chayim, little and few. V'lo yisigu yamei shnei chayai avosai b'yamei migurayim. By my great parents, by my father Yitzchak, by my grandfather Avraham, every day of migurim was also a day of chayim. There was a total correlation between Yemei Megureyem and Shnot Chayeyem. It was the same. By me, they departed. Shloishim v'mah shon Yemei Megurei. Ma'at v'raim ayu Yemei Shnei Chayei v'lo yesigu Yemei Shnei Chayei v'isai b'Yemei Megureyem. That is what Yaakov answers. If you ask me, did Pari understand Yaakov's response? No, I don't think so. I guess he didn't, but he didn't ask. Obviously, he didn't really care that much. But that is what Yaakov is teaching us. Now the Torah comes in Parshas V'yechi. And the Torah says, V'yechi Yaakov b'yeretz Mitzrayim shvayis l'shono. V'yechi yemei Yaakov shnei chayav. Sheva shonon v'arba memaah shono. Yaakov with this tremendous anava, a paragon of humbleness, of humility, Yaakov says, Ma'at v'rom ayu yamei shnei chayai. Lo yisigu yamei shnei chayai v'yisa b'yamei amigureyem. But the Torah says differently. V'yehi yamei Yaakov shnei chayav sheva shonam arbom u'ma'as shono ki yischok ka'avrom kein Yaakov. Avrom zokim bo b'yomim yischok. Yaakov was just the same. Yamei Yaakov shnei chayav sheva shonam 147 years, each and every day and night, were full of life. Of Asiyas, Letzon Hashem. Many times in the past 3 months, since we started learning and reading Chumash Bereishis, I said, Chayav Adon Lohim Amos Yegiyah Maaseh LaMaaseh Avoysai. Next week we depart, we say goodbye to Sefer Bereishis, and once again, Mosei Agiu Masei Lemasei Avotai. By our great Ovis, every day was a day of life, life in its fullest sense. Chayim Sheim Beim Busho V'Chlimo, Chayim Sheyesh Bohem, Ahavas Toiro V'Yiras Shemayim. That is the life which we dream about, which we yearn to live. That is the life we strive to achieve. Yehi Ratzon שימי מגורנו יהיו שנות חיים, שנזכה לעשות רצון אבינו שבשמיים, שנזכה לזכוס אבוי סמושית בזויכת וביאס משיח צדקנו במהרו ויומנו אמן.